Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 23rd of June, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island and background to the news. Manx Sport, Business, Sea-Watch, Travel Updates and the newsmakers in person. Day 34 of no new confirmed cases of C-19. In Keys today, the Infrastructure Minister got a grilling over the new road layout from Governor's Bridge to the grandstand. We have more on the father and son tragedy in County Donegal. Why aren't some children back at school? And BA won't be flying to London City after September the 13th.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. First am I, Ed Oldham.
Fast am I. The number of deaths on the Isle of Man exceeded the number of births for a fifth straight year in 2019. Data released by the Isle of Man government shows 710 births were registered on the island last year compared to 850 deaths. It's part of the annual Isle of Man in Numbers publication. It's now been 34 days without a new coronavirus case on the island. The total number, therefore, remains at 336, with no active cases. The latest figures were issued by government at 4 o'clock this afternoon. A 19-year-old man was left with a broken jaw following a fight on Duke Street in Douglas in the early hours of Sunday morning. Police have asked for witnesses to come forward and want them to call 631301 and ask to speak to a detective in CID. Further afield, Boris Johnson's announced a major easing of lockdown rules in England, calling it the end of national hibernation. From July the 4th, pubs, restaurants, hotels and hairdressers will be allowed to reopen and people from two households will be able to meet indoors. The 2-metre rule's been relaxed, but nail bars and gyms will stay closed. World tennis number one Novak Djokovic has tested positive for coronavirus after playing in a tournament with no social distancing in place. He's the fourth star to be diagnosed after taking part in the event in Croatia, which he helped organise. And Donald Trump says he wants people locked up for 10 years if they destroy statues. There have been growing numbers of cases in the US of protesters targeting monuments of those linked to slavery. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Ed. From the Ronald Ray Met Office, we have some dissipating strong winds out in the North Irish Sea at the moment on the island tonight. Dry and clear, or clearing anyway. And through the night, it's going to be a fresh to strong southerly, which will ease. 13 degrees, the overnight minimum temperature for Wednesday, Ukraine, sunny with light breezes. Top temperature 23 Celsius, dry and clear overnight into Thursday, low temperature 15. Jordan, dry with sunny intervals again up to 23 on Thursday. Low waters at a minute to 8 tonight, sunset 4 minutes to 10. The overnight high water 10 to 2 a.m., sunrise at 14 minutes to 5. And low water tomorrow morning, 22 minutes past 8.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674-573.
The new Infrastructure Minister had an uncomfortable time in Keys Questions this morning, explaining the department's thinking behind the new road layout at Governor's Bridge and past the grandstand. The problem, Tim Baker told members, was that the prom, which is now one way south to north, 10,000 southbound journeys a day now had to be diverted and the main route was past those junction. Miss Barber from East Douglas wanted to know why the consultation hadn't taken place before the new systems appear.
Whilst the department does consult with stakeholders on major schemes such as the promenade, for short-term traffic measures such as this, the department simply notifies key stakeholders and publishes notices to inform the public. The changes to the promenade were subject to consultation, but the changes that were needed to improve the various junctions that are used by the traffic diverter from the promenade are not the sort of thing I would expect to consult upon.
What review processes the department has and whether any further changes are anticipated? Thank you.
Minister to reply.
It's important to acknowledge that a number of changes have been made to the layout of the road system, particularly around the Governor's Bridge area, as a result of the learnings that have come since the changes were made at the beginning of last week. Department officers have visited the site throughout the day, over several days, since the amendments went in, and have assessed traffic flows and volumes.
Supplementary question, Mr. Robert Shaw.
I congratulate the Department of Infrastructure for trying to close Douglas. They're doing a pretty good job. They've closed the walkway from the parking. They've closed the Herringbone parking. There's no parking on the promenade. They've closed the coastal route for traffic in from the north. They've closed Summerhill. They've closed Broadway. And so the remaining route into Douglas was the left-hand lane at St. Ninian's and Hayho. They shut that as well. So I congratulate the department in making a complete mess of the whole thing, Mr. Speaker. Does he want to comment?
I completely refute Mr. Robert Shaw's statement that the department is trying to close Douglas. It's a ridiculous statement to make.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
24 minutes to six, a father and son whose bodies were recovered from a lake in County Donegal on Thursday were holidaymakers from the Isle of Man. Alex Watton spoke to Ewan Gorn about what we know so far.
Garda, that's the Irish police investigation into the deaths at Loch Keel near Termon, is underway. It's believed that the father in his 50s and his two teenage sons were fishing from the shore when he slipped and his sons tried to save him. That's from RTE reports. The younger boy, who was 15, made it to shore though and was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital.
So how were they discovered?
Well, the police search began at 2:55 in the afternoon last Thursday. That's according to Malin Head Coast Guard. A man working for Irish Water nearby had heard cries for help and raised the alarm. An Irish Coast Guard rescue helicopter was deployed from County Sligo to assist with the operation, as well as Mulroy Coast Guard and Sheephaven Sub-Aqua Unit.
What response has there been to the news?
We've received a statement from Donegal County Councillor Rena Donaghy, who has expressed her deepest condolences to the family and friends of the father and son from the Isle of Man who died at the incident in Donegal on Thursday, the 18th of June. She says, and I quote, "My thoughts and prayers go out to them at this difficult time." Meanwhile, we've contacted the Isle of Man government and received a statement from a spokesperson that reads, "The government was very sad to hear of the deaths of a father and his son from the island, as it is saddened at the loss of all members of the community in distressing circumstances. Our thoughts," it says, "are with the family and their loved ones."
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Next departures tomorrow morning's Manan and Fazcraft sailing from Douglas to Heysham. Leaves at 10 o'clock, arrives about 2:15 and heading back from Heysham at 2:15, arriving in Douglas about 4:30. Of course, the Fazcraft continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham. The motorship Ben McCree is providing the island's overnight freight service.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
2 days into the return to schools for students after the COVID lockdown, the Education Department's looking carefully at those children who, for whatever reason, have yet to answer the call of the school bell. A question in Keys, initially related to the position of the teachers' industrial action, which was started before the crisis started. But as discussions progressed, the Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, was questioned further by Ramsay member Laurie Hooper.
He mentioned in his remarks, really, that 8% of primary students are not back in school and 15% of secondary students are not back in school. So can the Minister please advise what impact any ongoing industrial action has had or is going to have on teaching for these students, and also specifically to ensure that where exams are being put on in November, as has been previously outlined, all students are ready for those exams and have the opportunity to catch up on any necessary missed tuition?
Minister Triplack.
We are on day two of a new term, and again I applaud the teachers and all the staff of schools for enabling this. We have 92% on yesterday. I hope that figure will gradually grow. But at the same time, the department have been quite clear that we've removed the obligation for parents to send their children back to school until they are ready. What we now need to do is look at those children who feel unable or are unable to come back to school and support them through this difficult period to make sure that any educational deficits are identified and addressed, but also support those teachers who may have to stay at home as well due to shielding and their medical conditions, to allow them to take part in an active education service.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Good news, Barclays International is resuming normal opening hours in its Douglas, Castletown and Ramsey branches starting from this week. Customers are reminded only to visit if essential and that social distancing has to be maintained. Online banking remains available via the Barclays app and website, and client service centre offers support from 9 till 5. In California, a US federal appeal has blocked California from requiring Roundup weed killer to carry a cancer warning. A US district judge has called California's cancer warnings misleading and says the state's label isn't backed up by regulatory findings. Regulators worldwide have determined that Roundup's active ingredient, glyphosate, is safe, although the World Health Organization's cancer research arm determined the herbicide to be a probable carcinogen in 2015. California had wanted a label stating known to the state of California to cause cancer. The maker Bayer welcomed the decision, calling the ruling very important to California's agriculture and science industry. This particular ruling separate from the wider litigation over whether Roundup causes a type of blood cancer. Bayer acquired Roundup with its $63 billion purchase of Monsanto in 2018. Apple is dropping its partnership with Intel in favor of its own processors for future Mac. The split marks the end of one of the tech industry's most influential alliances. Apple, of course, makers of the iPhone, said it expects the transition to take 2 years. Intel has made chips for Mac since 2005. The move highlights the growing power of tech giants to expand their abilities and reduce dependence on major partners.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks advanced as Eurozone PMI readings showed the economic downturn slowing in June. The Australian dollar bounced back after White House trade advisor Peter Navarro said his comments about the trade deal with China was about it being over were taken out of context. Oil rose after a volatile session. Gold surged, driven by a weakness in the US dollar. And in corporate news, RBS was higher after saying it had extended an account switching scheme for business customers by 6 months. On the downside, Heikma Pharmaceuticals slid after major shareholder German pharmaceutical group Boehringer sold off its 16.5% stake. Rightmove was weaker, as it said revenues could be hit further as it continues to support its agents with discounts following the COVID-19 disruption. And the numbers at the close. In London, the FTSE 100 was up 1.25% at 6,230. The DAX in Frankfurt up 2.5% at 12,546. In New York City, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial up 1% at 26,267. The tech stocks index, NASDAQ, up 1.25% at 10,188. In Chicago, the S&P 500 up 1% at 3,150. And in the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 25.2 cents and €1 10.6 cents. And in commodities, finally, gold up 0.75% at $1,766 an ounce. A barrel of Brent crude up 1.33% at $43.54.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Well, maybe this time of crisis could hold an air travel opportunity for the Isle of Man. If the government acts quickly, could it get hold of some of the invaluable slots, landing slots, at UK major airports, the basis of regular and assured Manx flights? BA has just told the Isle of Man it won't be flying from Rondlesway to London City after mid-September now. In a new paper from the Travel Watch Pressure Group, Terry Lydiard, former MD of Manx Airlines, says there's a great chance to benefit from the current uncertainty, but it has to be now.
Everything like that has gone in a to-do file rather than to action this day file. And businesses as a whole are getting very nervous about this just being pushed on and on, and it'll all be too late very soon.
Problem with the airlines, I suppose, is they had a very tough time. They're looking basically to save money. I think the Isle of Man won't fare tremendously well at the end of this equation, will they?
Well, no, that's a big concern. But apart from the fact that it's really more of an opportunity than that, it's the fact is that the only time I ever can understand it happening, but slots are probably available at the major London airports. And for the last, oh, I don't know, two or three decades, the government have always been on to us saying, can't we get slots for the Isle of Man services rather than for an individual airline? And of course you can't. Only airlines can own slots. But if the government had its own airline or majority shareholding, then it could apply for slots, which it would be available free of charge and would remain forever with that airline. And so guarantee the Isle of Man permanent slots at Gatwick or wherever. It's an opportunity.
It's an expensive opportunity, isn't it? At this time when really cash is so difficult for the island.
Oh, indeed. I mean, it's a very bad time after they've just spent sort of money they did on the Isle of Man steam packet. But on the other hand, you can't pick the time that coronavirus hits you or the big recession that's on its way.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
In clay shooting, it was another busy week at Mary Veg in Santon last week with four competitions taking place. It started with the Ballinivan Side-by-Side Championship. 18 competitors took to the stand in near ideal conditions. The winner with 45 was Richard Neen, with Alan Wade in second and Stephen Crane in third. The next shoot was the Sadler Agricultural Supplies ABT League, with the winner being Mark Riley on 47, followed by Peter Kelly a point back and John Moore a third on 43. Veteran Dave Clegg won the latest round of the Manx Petroleum Olympic Skeet League, with James Bradley second and Jeff Corkle third. And the last competition of the weekend was the SMP Partners Sporting League, with 13 competitors taking part in warm and dry conditions. The winner with a fine score of 43 was Stan Cross. His son Michael came second, followed by Alan Wade and Giulio Fabrizio in equal third place. Further afield, men's world tennis number one Novak Djokovic has tested positive for coronavirus after playing at a tournament he organised. The Serb was checked after Grigor Dimitrov and Borna Coric and Viktor Troicki were all found to have COVID-19. They'd also featured in the Adria Tour event, where no social distancing measures were in place. The busy restarts. The Premier League continues this evening. Leicester look to consolidate their position in the top four when they host Brighton. That's followed by Tottenham taking on relegation battlers West Ham. And seven more Pakistan cricketers have tested positive for coronavirus ahead of their tour of England. Mohammad Hafiz, Fakhar Zaman and Wahab Riaz are among those who've been diagnosed, along with a staff member.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
12 minutes to 6, the outbound services to London City, the 4:30 hasn't gone yet. And the 4:50, 10 to 5 left at about half an hour ago or so. So the 6:40 inbound from Liverpool may be a little delayed. The 8 o'clock from London City looks like that's going to be delayed, both inbound. On the roads, Doon School, the main road there's got two-way traffic signals for drainage work. King Edward Road in Groudle, again, two-way traffic lights for railway works. Ballycrane traffic lights, four-way temporary signals in place of the existing lights for cable installation. You could be there all night. Maloo Road by Great Meadows got two-way traffic signals for stone wall and railing repairs. Of course, Douglas Promenade, Interruption City until the 14th of December. Lock Harris Central and Queen's Promenade, one-way northbound plus associated waiting and turning restrictions. And Broadway closed from the Prom and Derby Road for Douglas Promenade renovation till about the 20th of October. All the information at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
And also watch out for some mist on the mountain as well. So on the Isle of Man, no more cases of coronavirus. 34 days in a row, the government released the latest figures this afternoon. Later in the week, we're being told that a borders roadmap will be published, and politicians here are closely monitoring actions from the UK to pave the way forward. Well, today, Boris Johnson announced an immediate end to the 2 metre social distancing rule, replacing it with 1 metre plus from the 4th of July. It opens the way for pubs, restaurants and cinemas to reopen there. there and for people to start visiting each other again. Speaking in the House of Commons, the UK Prime Minister urged people to act responsibly as he warned that lockdown measures could be tightened again if there are more spikes of coronavirus. But it was a move warmly recommended by Tory MPs, as Tony Bonsignore reports.
It was a moment millions of people were waiting for.
Order! I now call the Prime Minister to make a statement.
For once, Boris Johnson told the Commons first rather than the TV cameras. And no wonder, it was just what many MPs were desperate to hear.
Given the significant fall in the prevalence of the virus, we can change the 2 metre social distancing rule from the 4th of July.
Yes, it might mean more masks, visors and Perspex screens, but all being well, it also means this.
We will also reopen restaurants and pubs.
And so the list went on. Playgrounds, cinemas, museums, community centres. Households will now be able to host visitors overnight. And there was some good news for the tourism sector.
People will be free to stay overnight in self-contained accommodation, including hotels and bed and breakfasts, as well as campsites.
It's a massive moment and arguably a massive gamble. Labour gave the move a cautious welcome. And the SNP's Ian Blackford was one of a handful of MPs to point to other countries now experiencing a second wave of infection.
A similar experience here would amount to not just a health disaster, but an economic disaster.
Mostly, though, Tory MPs wanted to cheer and invite their man for a haircut and a pint in their local barber and boozer. And after the last 3 months, who could blame them?
8 minutes to 6 o'clock, competitive fell running on the Isle of Man makes its post-lockdown return tomorrow evening. First, it's the Carrigan Fell Race, described as a 4 kilometre lung buster to the summit of the hill and back down again. The race starts and finishes near the main gate to Ingerbeck Plantation. Richie Stevenson of Manx Fell Runners spoke to Ed Oldham.
Everybody's really looking forward to getting back out competitively again. Although the Carrigan is a pretty tough little race, so they might not be thinking so much when they're halfway up the climb on Wednesday night.
Now, looking back to the lockdown, how were things for fell runners over here?
Well, yes, I mean, after the initial strict guidelines were relaxed a bit, people were allowed to get up in the hills, and there was obviously a lot of non-fell runners up there as well, because there was a heck of a lot more people out and about than normal. But it was a fantastic relief to get up there, you know, in the lovely fresh air, and of course the weather was so brilliant as well, wasn't it? It was great to be able to do that.
Now, you say with this race, I think as you often do with them, that newcomers are welcome. You're always looking to attract more people to get involved in fell running. If you were to sell fell running to someone, what would you tell them about it? Why is it such a good sport to take up?
Well, it's a very inclusive sport. It's you against the course, basically, first of all. Obviously, in the open, fresh air, we have a fantastic community to take part in the race, and there's no big egos. Everybody just gets on with the race and encourage everybody. Obviously, we have to take strict safety precautions, especially in bad weather. But generally, we put on some shorter races to encourage newcomers along, just to get a bit of a sampler. The courses are marked, so there's not much chance of going off course. So, yes, generally, we just welcome everybody to come and have a go.
And regarding this first race back, Richie, it's in an area, West Baldwin, Ingerbreck, where things are quite tight, aren't they? And you've got to, you know, get cars in. So I imagine a bit of cooperation from what, local landowners, maybe even Ardwallan?
Well, yes, we've been very lucky. Ardwallan, out the Outdoor Pursuit Place, have offered us the use of the car parking there. So we're using that for registration. We would ask anybody who is going out in the cars, if possible, car share. There's not a massive amount of car parking out there. And we would also like to thank, as well as Ardwallan, we'd like to thank Manx Utilities, DEFRA and the landowners. They've given us permission to access their property at very short notice, and we really appreciate that.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
There have been more deaths than births, fewer marriages and a drop in the number of property sales. Some of the trends seen in the annual Isle of Man in Numbers publication from the government. Sean Cowper has been looking at the figures with Rhiann Evans.
There were 710 births and 850 deaths registered in 2019, giving a negative natural change to the island's population for the fifth year in a row.
Fewer people are getting married, with 221 weddings taking place last year, compared to around 350 in 2018. And the number of Manx residents buying property has fallen. Property transactions showed 844 houses and 187 flats were purchased in 2019, although the average price increased to £288.06.
What about health?
Well, there are fewer GPs on the island compared to 12 months earlier, with the equivalent of 40.4 full-time positions, down from 42.5 in 2018. Despite this, though, the number of patients has risen by almost 400 to 87,790. For a fifth straight year, there's been an increase in the number of people seeking mental health support, with 4,389 people receiving help, up by 129 compared to 2018.
One of the big topics to feature in the news throughout 2019 was climate change and the environment. So what does this report tell us about that?
Well, there are some interesting changes to recycling. The data shows an increase in the amount of glass and cans being deposited at bring banks, but less paper, while the civic amenity sites also found an increase in the number of dry cell batteries being recycled in 2019. The most recent figures for greenhouse gas emissions are from 2017 and show 692 kilotons of CO2 were emitted on the island, which is a slight increase from 2013 when the Isle of Man committed to cut emissions by 80%.
For details of the stories you've heard this evening and more Manx news, interviews and podcasts and a comprehensive store of Manx Radio videos, go to manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. Like us on Facebook, follow Manx Radio on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. And of course, updates available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker or Spotify. Details at manxradio.com. That's it for update from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint, and update is back Wednesday evening at 5:30.